Larry, thank you so much for leading us in those powerful and beautiful songs. And thank you for joining in with us today in our worship. If you're watching online today, we welcome you as well. And we are delighted that you're here. What an odd time we're living in, but we still have this tremendous blessing of being able to come together and lift our voices in praise to our marvelous God. What a blessing that is. I hope that you will relish in that time. We're beginning today a short series of lessons that we're calling, as Larry's already mentioned, Hidden Messages. I hope you'll stay with me today as we work through some exciting introductory stuff, and we'll get into some more good stuff as we go through this series. I think you'll see where we're going. But there are hidden messages all around us. Some of those messages are rather sly. I remember watching E.T. when it first came out and watching the Coca-Cola can. And that's the first time I ever realized that those people were, in fact, doing product placement. And today on almost every network television show, there are companies that will pay for the permission to use their product, for their product to be on the screen. And you'll start noticing that. They're rather sly, but they're very much on purpose. There are also some of those messages that are subliminal. Now, I have a hard time saying that word, but can you say it? Say it with me, subliminal. My B's get all mixed up and there's only one in it. It seems like there should be about six. But those are really hidden messages. And there's a lot of debate among scientists, among people who study this, over whether they're really even effective. It's somewhat like the debate over masks or not. Do they work? Do they not work? Are they effective? Are they not effective? And nobody really knows if they're effective or not. And I think every once in a while we see them and we don't even realize what we're seeing, you know, and those messages are there. We may miss them, we may get them, but, just so you'll know, I do not believe in them. I don't believe they work at all. I don't think they're effective in any way at all. The elders have a very important announcement to make at the close of the service today. They're looking for a new preacher. So, but they're subliminal messages. They're kind of really hidden from us. And then there's some that are in plain sight. There's this one, like the one on the right here, the FedEx message that you've probably seen before. Y'all seen that, haven't you? How there is an arrow kind of hidden there inside that little FedEx. Some of you don't know the KFC hidden message. How many of you know the KFC hidden message? Raise your hand good enough if you do. About seven of you know it. You're never going to be able to unsee this once I show it to you, okay? You ready for this? Inside his tie is a little person. You see it? All right, so that's a subliminal. I don't know. Somewhere in plain sight. I thought that was pretty good, but apparently it wasn't. So, there are all sorts of hidden messages. And what actually started this sermon series was about 12 weeks ago when we were meeting together. I picked up one of these communion cups, and I realized there was a message, these exasperating little cellophane tops that are on there that some of you struggle with every single week. Yeah, you know. How many of you noticed? Raise your hand good and high that there's a message on them. All right, more of you noticed than I expected. But there's a message on there. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. So there are all sorts of messages. The fact is, the Bible is full of rich, powerful, hidden messages. And what I want to do today is I want to talk some about some of those messages. We see it in the book of Revelation. In fact, some people who really struggle and debate and try to make the book of Revelation apply to our day, you'll see it over and over again. Every 10 years or so, a bestseller will come out that will unfold the hidden messages in the book of Revelation. The truth of the matter is, the real hidden message of Revelation is in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, where John wrote, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants things which must shortly take place, must shortly come to pass." Now, I'm not going to re-preach Revelation, but just so you know, shortly is not 2,000 years in anybody's boat. What he wrote was for those people in that day to understand what was going to take place in their lives. And they written, watch it, and he sent and signified it. Or you might say signified it. Just take that word apart a little bit. Signified it. Put it in signs by his angel to his servant John. Now, here's what happened. In the first century, in the second century, there was tremendous persecution against Christians. And John, to these young Christians in the first century, wrote by inspiration a letter to tell them, wrote them a letter in signs to tell them, here's what's happening. And he wrote it to seven churches. And he sent that letter to seven churches. Most people believe it was a circular letter. The church of Ephesus sent it to the church of Smyrna, sent it to the church of Pergamos, sent it to the church, sent it to all seven churches. And they would read it. Now, in case that letter was captured somewhere along the way by a Roman soldier or something, a Roman soldier picked this up and say, what is this? I mean, horses and blood and vials of all sorts of images, beasts and angels, seraphim and wings and a great sea, and they would be very confused. But no first century Christian would ever have been confused by the book of Revelation. It was written in signs so that they could understand what was going to happen. Those images, most of them, were from the Old Testament. You know where it talks about the moon being turned into blood and the sun not shining? We read it and some people read that and say, that's never happened before. It happened, that same imagery language is used three times in the Old Testament. All it noted was there was going to be a cataclysmic event that was going to be coming, and they needed to be prepared for it. Hidden messages. Peter kind of talks about these hidden messages in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, where he says, these were things the angels wanted to know about. It was hidden from them. And today I want to share with you five places where the Bible gives us hidden messages. I'll try to move through them quickly, but they're important. The first one's in Ephesians chapter 5. And the lesson here is, if you're taking notes on your outline, and I would remind you if you're at home, this week we ask Emily to attach the outline to the email she sends out on Sunday morning. So if you didn't see your email, go back to that email and the outline is on there. But the first lesson, the first hidden message is a beautiful, beautiful one. And that is how Christianity breaks down the toughest barriers. In fact, look at the text. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles, here's the message, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise of Christ, through the gospel of which I became a minister according to the gift of the power of God. This is a powerful, powerful text. It's powerful in our culture. And here is what this text would teach us today in a relevant and beautiful manner. Watch it. When there's division in our culture, when there's political unrest in our world, when there's confusion in our world, the world will never come to peace until it comes to Christ. That's the message. The hidden message is that Jews and Gentiles who hated each other more than anybody on earth hated each other in those days, hated each other like the most hated people hate each other in our culture today, those people could be brought together around the cross of Christ. This is relevant to our current time when we all realize that the grace of God is common to all. That we all need the grace of God, and none of us deserves the grace of God, and God gave it to us, and in the process, he made us brothers. That's beautiful. The second hidden message Larry mentioned a minute ago, and that is how killing Jesus led to my salvation. How killing Jesus led to our salvation. Here's the text from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. Now here's a hidden message. The cross of Christ, how God came to earth as a baby, how he's born in a manger, the message to all the world is not seen by hardly any of the world when the message comes. Who would have ever thought of bringing the God of heaven into earth, not with a guy with a big microphone proclaiming it, or not writing it in great clouds in the sky, or not with some great miracle, but simply through the form of a baby. Who would have thought? Satan would never have thought. In fact, Satan believed when he killed Jesus that he had won the victory. But here's the trick God played on Satan. And that's exactly what it was. Genesis 3 says that. Here's a trick that God played on Satan. In the process of killing Jesus, he saved the world. It's a rather complicated verse there in 1 Timothy 3. Here it is from Philip's rendering of it. It's a transliteration, but it maybe clarifies it some for you if that verse is complicated. No one can deny that this religion of ours is a tremendous blessing, resting as it does on the one who showed himself as a human being and met as such every demand of the Spirit in the sight of the angels as well as of men. Then after his restoration to heaven from whence he came, he has been proclaimed among men of different nationalities and believed in all parts of the world. No one can deny this tremendous message, this great mystery. The beautiful thing is, Satan never saw that when he killed Christ, he was fulfilling God's eternal plan. That's what Paul calls it in Ephesians 4. God planned it all the way back, even before man came into being, that he would redeem him and that he'd use his arch enemy to redeem man. A hidden message, hidden from Satan. He never saw it coming. The third hidden message is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and that is how giving gets. Society teaches me to crave and never to share. Just get as much as you can get. And if you ever give, you only give because of tax relief purposes. Don't ever give anybody anything. Christianity comes and says, as man sows, he reaps. He says God loves a generous giver. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 say that you cannot outgive God. The truth is 95.5% of all Christians don't even get this concept. And those who do sometimes use it as religious hucksterism. You know, you give, you get. And so the preacher says, give more so you can get more. In reality, all he's doing is trying to pad his pockets. No, that's not it. If that's the method and the message, then you mess up in the process. But the method is, the message is, God blesses a cheerful giver. Hidden message number four, and there's that text, what forgiveness does. Man, I wish I had several hours to spend here. The message of what forgiveness does to us, to our hearts, to our relationships, to others, even to our enemies. That when we forgive, that we get a fresh start. And I want to tell you something. There is nowhere that is more real than in real Christianity. There is nowhere that is more true than in the heart of a true Christian. You see, the fact is, every once in a while, I need a restart. How about you? And Matthew talks about this in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 12 through 15, how Christianity does that for us. Sometimes we should just look at each other and say, hey, I messed up. I really didn't mean to do what I did. I got off track. We got cross with each other. I did something I'm sorry about. I'm sorry. Can we start again? And here is a beautiful secret. The amazing secret is that it is tremendously simple and that it works in the heart of every Christian. Number four, number five, here's the fifth hidden message. Jesus was, in and of himself, a hidden message. I love Galatians chapter 3, or chapter 4, verse 4, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. His birth in Luke chapter 2 was a hidden message. We already mentioned it. Who would have brought the Savior of the world into the world in this way? Hiding Him from kings who would kill Him and from those who would defeat Him until the time was come. And then Jesus Himself was a hidden message as He went about and did good. Three times in the book of Luke. In fact, if you have your Bible today, I want to invite you to open it to the book of Luke. Three times in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 5, verse 41. In Luke chapter 8, verse 56. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 21. Jesus will use a supernatural power through the Spirit given to Him by God. And He will cause a miracle to happen. And He will tell the person that can't help but go out and shout about it. He will tell that person, hey, now be careful. It's not time yet. Don't tell anybody what I did for you. And then there's that little weird twist that those people had to be told not to tell anybody, and that some of us have received God's gift of salvation in our life, who God rescued from sin and slavery and sure damnation, that us, these very people, have to sometimes have our arms twisted to get us to tell other people about Christ. His ministry. Hidden message over and over again. The master of the hidden message was Jesus. In fact, I told you to open to Luke. Look at Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at two verses. We're going to look at a lot of verses in Luke. In fact, I'll tell you now, this whole series is going to come from Luke. That's the plan. And today in Luke chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, look at what happens. He's told the parable, if you remember, if you look back up in your text, the parable of the sower, how a farmer, went out to sow his seed, and how the seed fell in different places. And the disciples ask Him, what do you mean by this parable? Without a lengthy explanation, the word parable simply means an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we mess up with the parable sometimes in our minds because we have heard them so very often, we begin to know the end of the story before we get the barb of the story. So the disciples hear the story of the sower, and they say, what does this mean? And Jesus said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they don't see, and hearing they don't understand. Mark 4, verse 11 calls it a mystery as well. A third of the teachings of Jesus are recorded in parables. Hearing, they don't get the message. They can hear the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it never crossed their mind that they need to care for people who are needy. They can hear the parable of the steward that is forgiven of a small amount and then goes out and takes a guy by the throat and demands a large amount, and they can never see themselves in their own heart of lack of forgiveness. They can hear the parable of the woman with the lost coin and never see themselves in that parable of being lost and in need of a Savior. I've always found it interesting to think about what people remember in sermons. I want to ask you something. How many of you were here the Sunday I preached the sock sermon? When everybody gave away their socks. All right, those of you who were here, keep your hand up if you were here. How many of you remember the message behind that? You put it down too quickly. That's not unfair. How many were here the Sunday I preached the grape sermon where I threw grapes at people? How many were here? Any of you get hit by a grape? Leave them up a second. How many remember what the grape sermon was about? Nobody. You see, Jesus was a master at this. I'm not. When He told a parable, people got the story and the message. That rarely happens to me. What sets Jesus apart is you remember the point. He sets a child in the midst of them. And the message isn't love children. The message is we're to become like little children. The 10 lepers, where are the 9? You know the message. be thankful. So for a few weeks, I want to take Luke's account of some of Jesus' parables. And the point will not be just to see these are great stories. They are great stories. But the truths that might change your lives, my life, your life, if we understand them and take them personally. I want to close today with my very favorite of the hidden images in the Bible. I think it's actually one of the most inspiring of them. And I put the text on the screen from the ESV today. I want to read to you from the New Living Translation, if you don't mind, so that you get two different hearings. And when I planned this sermon, what I thought I would do with Luke 24, because I think it's the most beautiful of the hidden messages that Jesus gives. What I want to do is I want to read it without comment. It's a lengthy reading. The words have been on the screen. You can follow along in your device. But it's a powerful teaching. It's a powerful event. Start in Luke 24 at verse 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intensely as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written all over their face. One of them, Cleophas, said, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who has not heard about all the things that have happened there these last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, a man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the Messiah who would come and rescue Israel. All this happened 3 days ago. Then, some women from the group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them, 'Jesus is alive.' Some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from the scriptures the things concerning himself. By that time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he was going further, going on. But they begged him, 'Stay the night with us. It is getting late. So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Peter.' Then the two men who were from Emmaus told the story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they'd recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing among them. Peace to you." What a powerful message Jesus is. Today, if you have not accepted the message of the one the prophet spoke of and the one who was revealed beyond a shadow of the doubt to be the Messiah, this message is for you. It is no longer hidden. He will save you from your sins. Will you come to him? Will you confess your belief in him? Will you repent, turn for the life that has separated you from him, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? And if you're his child and you've left him, will you come home? If you have prayer requests or you need to respond online, that number on the screen is there for you now so that you can do so. If we can help you here, you can let us know. You can come forward. Our shepherds, our leaders here have little name tags to identify them as shepherds. They will be around the building after the service, and you can just pull one of them aside and talk to them. Whatever it is, Jesus is the ultimate answer to all that's happening in our world today. You need to come to him. Will you come while we stand and sing?